Hello and welcome back to the Innovation Room. I am Daniel Guajardo. Alongside me here today is my co-host Derek Tobolsky. We've got an exciting episode for you here today, and we're even more excited to announce that we have one of our partners here with us that are going to be our special guest speakers on the topic. Our partners here from FEXA. And the topic of today's episode is going to be automation and augmentation in the workplace. Stick around. All right, let's get this episode going. So I am now going to introduce you to Kim Goey.
Hey, how are you, Daniel?
Doing very well.
Thanks for having me. Yes, I'm Kim Goey. I'm the COO of FEXA. I come from, you know, many years in the retail and operator sector, and now have joined FEXA to really streamline and grow the company. And really continue to focus on our values of being human first, integrity, innovation, and customer success. So I'm really happy to be here. And I invited my partner in crime, our fearless leader, Mark Belzamo, our CEO. Mark, can you introduce yourself too?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Kim. Appreciate you introducing me. And Dan, thanks for having us on the show today. Really appreciate it. So I'm Mark Belzamo, the CEO of FEXA. And if you don't know, FEXA is a CMMS system, and we have software we sell to a lot of operators and large suppliers and vendors in the facility maintenance, retail, and restaurant industry.
Great. So yeah, as you can see, being a CMMS operator, our topic today is automation augmentation in the workplace. So we're going to get right into it. And first off, we want to know, what does automation in the workplace look like right now?
Yeah, I'll take that, Kim. The automation in the industry right now, you know, takes a bunch of forms. You have in manufacturing, a lot of the sort of tedious, repetitive tasks have been automated for quite a bit of time. But more recently, what you're seeing is artificial intelligence being used to auto detect things like images, documents. Something at FEXA that we use is called sentiment analysis. So that's something that we use to detect human language when people are replying to how services went. And we can actually auto escalate people who are putting in negative language into the system. So that can be auto routed to the people who need to respond to that type of thing. So it definitely comes in all forms in terms of how automation is definitely being applied these days.
Yeah, a little bit of history, I suppose. A lot of people, we refer to these as ATMs, but that was some of the first automation we saw in the workplace, and that's just automated teller machines. And there was a lot of fear that the tellers were going to be replaced by these machines, and they didn't know what to do because they all thought they were going to lose their jobs. Clearly, we still see tellers all throughout banks. They are helping people in many different ways. So when someone has the fear of job loss from automation, what industries do you think may be hit the hardest by that?
Yeah, I definitely see things like manufacturing, transportation, storage, food service, you know, things that have some pretty high level of physical aspect to them are definitely subject to those kinds of replacement of humans doing those tasks. But I think that in other industries, it's more of an augmentation. So that's not quite as obtrusive as it is helpful.
Okay, so this shouldn't really be a concern for the majority of the workforce.
Sure, absolutely. And I think it frees folks up who do those types of jobs to learn other skills and get into jobs that are more augmented by technology rather than replaced by it.
Okay, yeah. So it gives them the ability to add more value, use their time more wisely, and take care of, you know, all the little tasks that we really couldn't do in a day if we just repeated them over and over.
Yeah, typically those tasks are not tasks that really need to be done by a human, but really the escalation points or things that can't necessarily be redundant that need a human brain to solve maybe a complex problem around that task. You can't really replace a human when it comes to that. And I also, you know, you asked about jobs, Daniel. Mm-hmm. I get the fear factor around jobs and losing a job to, you know, the scary robot. I understand that. There are still, you know, we're in an industry, facilities maintenance, where there's still a severe shortage of folks who are willing to roll up their sleeves and learn a domain and learn a trade. And so if there are folks listening who aren't involved in the facilities maintenance industry and really are, you know, thinking about shifting their career, there's a lot of growth opportunity in our industry. And we're constantly looking for, you know, skilled trades folks and those kinds of people who can really diagnose and solve a problem for our customers. So
yeah, the skills gap is a big issue in our industry, and that will probably have to be a topic for another time though, because I have a lot I can talk about that one.
I think so too.
So now we're going to talk a little bit about how the workers can actually address and adapt to the automated technologies in the workplace. So Kim, if you don't mind sharing a little bit, what does it look like for workers who are adapting to this currently?
Yeah, and it's definitely happening everywhere and faster than ever. The one thing that the year 2020 provided all workforces really is an opportunity to adopt software and to become more efficient using that software augmentation. So, and of course, in our industry and the software that we sell, we've seen a lot of our customers adapt and utilize our system to augment some of those repetitive tasks that, you know, are not necessarily adding any value to their organization, but are tasks that need to be done nonetheless. And so, of course, there's never a shortage of things to do in facilities maintenance. People are always putting out fires. There are, you know, opportunities to take those repetitive tasks like communication, for example, and let the humans really focus on those exceptions to the rules, you know, the things that fall by the wayside outside of what is normally expected to happen, you know, what's taking too long, for example, or what's not working or what's breaking more often than expected, you know, giving our customers that those kinds of data points and then taking off of the table a lot of that tedious in the weeds sort of work is really how we've seen our workforce that we interact with on a day-to-day basis, how they've utilized technology.
Okay, yeah. Have you seen maybe other industries that have been utilizing this more, or maybe just inquiring about your software?
Well, it's definitely increased as far as the different types of solutions that industries are looking at. I mean, certainly, you know, grocery, for example, has been hugely disrupted in the last year. And a lot of the new technologies that are out there for, you know, keeping track of how many humans are inside of a building and different delivery models, you know, how are their products being given and delivered to their end customers, you know, using drones and things like that. I mean, so there's all sorts of different types of technologies. Of course, FEXA, we live in the space where we're managing sort of day-to-day break fixes and also planned maintenance type services. But we are finding, and thankfully FEXA is built API first, so we manage a lot of integrations. We integrate with a lot of other systems. We're finding that a lot of the consolidation and the shifts and priorities have forced us to continue to ensure that our program is what we call flexible or flexibility, meaning we're now going to really support construction teams, not just facility maintenance teams. We're supporting real estate lease administration type functions instead of just facilities maintenance. So those kinds of groups used to be a lot more siloed than they are now. And it's happening faster and faster. Those silos are breaking and they're wanting to integrate different systems. They're wanting to shelve certain systems and be able to use a system like FEXA to manage things end to end from the planning stages to the construction stages, to the reactive maintenance stages, to the asset management stages, to, you know, and to et cetera. So it's kind of going to become more and more, you know, what system can check more boxes for us? And if it's not directly checking that boxes, how does it integrate with other systems that are checking those boxes?
Yeah. Do you think that, you know, 2020 and the digital push into the new era had a lot to do with these other industries maybe looking into these systems more? I definitely believe it does, and I'm sure you do too, but do you have any thoughts on that? Or?
Yeah, I always would say this year, you know, as we're going through the year of 2020, just like everybody who's sort of what's going to happen next, because there was just a domino effect of so many things that happened, not only with the pandemic, but with natural disasters. And it, I mean, I think it really forced everyone to take a hard look at how they were doing things. And so that really is the silver lining of the challenges that everybody faced in 2020 is technology, not only technology, you know, technology is such a broad term, but, you know, utilizing tools available to you and automating more things, you know, taking the minutia and the tasks that basically waste time and money, taking those off the table and how to, you know, leverage technology to still accomplish those things, because there are still tasks that need to be done, but how to do it in a smarter way. Absolutely. I think 2020 has sort of turned everybody on their heads and forced everybody to reevaluate their businesses. And fortunately for some, that's actually provided an opportunity. You know, companies like Fexa, it's actually provided a very unique opportunity for us in the market. And we've been growing gangbusters. There are also companies out there, unfortunately, who maybe didn't evaluate quick enough or didn't shift or adapt quick enough. And, you know, they're feeling the after effects of that. So it goes across the board. It's sort of survival of the fittest, right? Who's smart enough to adapt, who can adapt quick enough, and what kind of tools are you using to adapt? And if you're using a tool like Fexa, you know, as partners of ours, you can adapt very quickly. You can make very quick decisions and you can shift like that. And then that's always how we've operated. But in the year 2020, now everybody knows that's how we need to operate.
In real time. People have talked about it for a long time, but we need to operate in real time. I guess maybe for those who don't know exactly, or maybe they've never used an automation or augmented platform, do you have any examples you could provide?
Absolutely. Well, the first one I mentioned earlier, and I can expand a little bit more on, is communications. We are always emailing, calling, texting, right? Mm-hmm. We're taking notes. We're constantly communicating with each other. We have to. Yes. It's the nature of our business. So when you automate those communications, not just a standard stock set of when the system thinks that you want to know things, but being able to say, okay, this is what's important to me in my role. This is what's important to my colleague and their role. And it's not in, you know, Fexa, how we approach communications. It's not a stock set, hard coded. This is exactly what you get. It's a what's important to you. When do you want to hear about it? So for example, we've got facilities managers who say, I don't want to know when a new work order has been created. Mm-hmm. I just want an alert if it's after hours, if it's something, you know, or I only want to know when an emergency work order has been created, but don't email me otherwise. I only want to know if a vendor's declined within a certain period of time, if it's an emergency work order. Otherwise, let the system send out the notifications, right? So it's kind of relying on the system to take the responsibility of the user, number one, to avoid the overload of looking at data that's not important.
Yeah.
And number two, to make that person only see what's relevant at the appropriate time and be able to prioritize accordingly. So communications has really been a huge one. Because of the way that our communications are designed, we're able to make real-time changes using HTML. They are not hard-coded. So we're very proud of that. And 2020 definitely showed the importance of that with new PPE guidelines, you know, new rules, new requirements that were being communicated. So that's one really good example, and something that we, you know, even every day are making small shifts for our customers. There's also, you know, how to encourage relationship management and vendor management using automation, getting clear about, you know, KPIs that are expected. With Fexa, you can actually set alerts when certain requirements aren't met. Okay. You can enforce certain requirements. And again, usually you're depending, if you're not utilizing a smart technology platform, you're depending on a human to determine whether a box has been checked, right? Or whether a requirement has been met. And in Fexa, we actually use business logic to enforce those requirements. And so it takes the responsibility off the human, but it also eliminates error. You know, it really enforces those rules. So we've seen that a lot. And then finally, I'll mention asset management, because that's just been such a large priority for us. And we're actually launching asset tagging here shortly. It's on our product roadmap. We've we've got a lot of asset management capabilities, and we've got customers managing fleets and, you know, very complicated equipment on FEXA, but now we'll actually be able to tag that equipment with QR codes. We're excited about that. But with automation, you can execute different types of programs to make sure that those assets are serviced. And, you know, that will ultimately save the end user the responsibility of having to determine, you know, how long something needs to go before it's serviced. You know, is it every 90 days or is it quarterly? Those are two different ways of managing a program, right?
Yeah.
So this is a really useful way to extend the life of assets. And with our asset management, we're actually able to track any asset attributes that are important to our customers. And I know that's important. We've heard from, you know, customers coming over from other places that usually you're managing an asset with a stock set of items that you can track about that asset. But we know that not all attributes are important. Not all assets are created equal. So that's been a huge way for us to ensure that our operators are making smart decisions around asset management. And we're able to automate the notifications around those assets. We're able to flag things that are under warranty. You know, we're able to track any attributes, those kinds of things. So those are just a few examples that we found really important around the automation part of it.
Yeah, and some of the biggest ways automation is really helping us is allowing us to make better decisions, really. The way I look at it from the marketing and sales perspective is like a system like this or your website or whatever it is you're using, like that's another team member. It's a team member that doesn't sleep either. It's a team member that works in 24 hours a day and in real time, which we all know we can't ask a human being to do that. That's not going to work that way.
And so even if we could, we wouldn't.
Exactly. Yeah. It would not be fair to anybody. But yeah, no, that's really great. I think that'll definitely help. I know it just, I wanted to try to explain a little bit for the listeners so they kind of understand what all these things are for someone who's maybe never used a system like this. When you use it a lot, it's easier to understand how everything works. I know when I first started learning about automation, there's a lot to learn at once, and you don't really see the value right away. And then it just clicks and you're like, this is amazing. This is going to make everything so much easier for my job. It's not going to replace my job. Yeah. Mark, did you want to add anything on that?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I wanted to sort of reemphasize how 2020 really sort of accelerated this do more with less initiatives. Just were popping up everywhere. Consolidation of departments. Kim was talking about lease administration and real estate and facilities. All of a sudden, we're becoming a single department. And all of a sudden, they were looking for software that they could consolidate as well, because typically those departments might have been using three or four different packages. And we saw a lot of that coming our way because FEXA was able to not only support these different functions, but automate a lot of the interaction that wasn't there in these disconnected packages they came from. So I think we had a lot of customers who were really pleased that not only could we support a consolidation efforts and do more with less, but also have those teams operating in a much smoother and more automated way.
So definitely some great information there, Kim. Appreciate it. I'm going to shift gears just a little bit here, and I'm going to talk more about super teams. Now, for me, super teams is more of a term that I'm used to hearing in sports, especially NBA, NFL, where they're bringing on these super athletes, right, and creating these super teams. But the buzzword actually is also in business, and I'm hoping to cover exactly what that is. Now, it's a term that was created by Deloitte to encompass the integration of AI into human working teams. To define the term a little bit more, it's groups of people and intelligent machines working together to solve problems, gain insights, create value, and the next steps in AI, continuing integration into the world of work. Mark, can you give us a more detailed definition of what super teams is for you and what it looks like in the real world?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like I can definitely give you a FEXA-related example. I think we have an approach when we implement our system where we use automation and AI. Part of our implementation process, we work with people, not just with a software where we say, okay, this is how it works, and you're going to use these processes, but we dig down with our customers on how we can use automation and AI to automate what is mundane, what is repetitive, so that they can focus on exceptions.
Okay, so for me, teams are a standard unit of modern day organization. You know, without teams, I'm not sure where me and my project management department, or even company for that matter, would be. I'm curious what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that we definitely try and put Flexa uses role-based automation to sort of extend the application to work with a lot of different roles in the organization, bring everyone together. So I definitely agree with that. And we definitely try and use the technology and its role-based capabilities to pull people together in that way.
Yeah, I know internally we're always using our IT team to do whatever we can within our system to create those automations and to create, you know, just computer generated help to get us to a better spot. You know, I'm curious how we can use robots and AI to assist humans even more with teams, though, outside of just the normal reminders that maybe my team gets, you know, automated reminders that my team gets that's working, you know, on a 24/7 basis. So I'm curious what you see today when it comes to this and where you see that.
Yeah, I one of the things that I've been thinking about recently is how you can have work orders from the field coming in automatically. I don't know if you've ever been to like a Best Buy where you walk in and they have this whole section where you have home automation. I mean, you have light bulbs there that have IoT in them, and they actually, I mean, right now they're, you know, $5 a light bulb, but soon enough it'll be 50 cents a light bulb. And what happens when those things are able to put in calls when they go out? Like, can you imagine a light bulb, you know, sitting in a storefront that goes out and, you know, dials up FEX and basically says, hey, I need to be replaced. And you're seeing a lot of that in the consumer market. You're definitely seeing washing machines, refrigerators, and all those kinds of things, devices with a lot of IoT capabilities, auto connecting to repair systems. And that's just going to get so reasonably effective cost-wise, where you're going to see a huge penetration in the retail restaurant space beyond energy management systems. So I'm really excited for that. And I see that as a huge element of bringing the people out in the field and their needs to the facilities team sitting centralized, who are sitting with FEXA and servicing those calls.
Yeah, I don't even think about it. You know, I started just recently, and I've done it before, but now I've really started doing it with four kids that we have, is setting up our house with Alexa systems, right? And everybody's kind of got some sort of smart device within their room, whether it's an outlet to shut them down at the end of the night. You know, my furnace is hooked up to my system as well. And anytime something's happening with that, or it shuts down or goes down, it's notifying me, letting me know, hey, this isn't working. And it's crazy to think that in just the past so many years, we came from incandescent bulbs to LED bulbs, Mark, where you said, and it's more of a price comparison here, you know, that price has come down a crazy amount. And to think then that those smart bulbs could be following in the same trend, and like you said, could come down to almost 50 cents a piece and become so affordable that people would say, well, why not? Why wouldn't I? And then be able to integrate it into the world of FEXA, right? Or an automation in that sense, and get in those automatic notifications that something's out, needs replaced, and causing just a really seamless repair call is just wild to me. You know, it's fair to say that AI can, it's more than fair to say that AI can improve consistency, quality, and productivity. It does it for me in my own house. I can drop in on people's rooms and tell them it's dinner time without having to walk up the stairs six times. It's phenomenal, but it can also add value, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, beyond consistency, quality, and productivity, another significant contribution of applying automation is risk mitigation. If you can apply automation to assure that certain actions are taken following an event like a natural disaster, which, you know, requires the stabilization of a facility, you can substantially decrease potentially dangerous and costly scenarios occurring in those facilities. You know, we often do ROI analysis with our customers and prospective customers with automation capabilities that we have available today and see opportunity for value. I mean, just last week, we did an analysis that showed a 600% ROI during the first year by eliminating dual entry and multiple systems, highlighting, you know, prioritized work, and then bringing forth relative metrics for quicker repair, replace decisions, and extending the life of assets.
That's wild. That's just too cool. And it just, it shows how much and how far we've come, I think, when it comes to this stuff. You know, simply put, you know, the super teams and integrating with AI, you can do more work with higher quality and less time. And I think that's probably the huge savings point, right? Everybody's trying to do more with less, like you guys mentioned earlier.
Oh, yes, for sure. Seeing, you know, integrating the, you know, artificial intelligence with communication tools, just-in-time reminders, all of these things are absolutely empowering teams across the organization and allowing them to collaborate in ways they couldn't before. So yeah, I'm absolutely super excited about the things that we're doing with FEXA and how we're contributing to the success and value and efficiency of these teams.
Yeah, so we see automation and smart communications being a tremendous facilitator of, you know, effective collaboration across teams. Kim, this one's more for you. I'm curious, what do organizations need to do in order to successfully, you know, do that augment transition to a super team?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I certainly don't want the term super team to be overwhelming to people, because many people are already super teams or are at the cusp of becoming a super team. It really is just a healthy combination of humans along with tools to help humans become super teams. So, but yeah, definitely, I certainly have some advice. First and foremost, before you start laying out what it is that needs to be done, you have to be very clear on what your business goals are. And how you can actually leverage automation and tools to support those business goals. So it really starts at an overarching level. Now, of course, we're usually dealing with facilities maintenance, construction teams, you know, folks that are on the ground in the weeds, but from a higher level perspective, what's your organization trying to do? And aligning some of those goals within those teams is really important. You know, for example, is your brand about being a low-cost provider, you know, or providing quality and also value? Is super convenient, you know, a part of the goal? Is, you know, is the shopping experience and the speed of the shopping experience, is that a part of the goal? You know, really solidifying those goals before you take future steps is important. It's the foundation of the work that you're going to do. The second thing I would suggest that you do after that is to really document the current state workflow in detail. It's important to include anybody who's involved in those workflows as a part of that process. And of course, in a respectful manner, they really are the experts in that process. And it, again, it's not about replacing what they're doing. It's about supplementing what they're doing with the tools that are available. So, you know, really engaging all of the stakeholders in that process is important. And then, you know, the third point, and really the point that's closest to our hearts, is, you know, choose the most modern tools that can leverage the data and that can support the goals that you have and the workflow processes that you enforce. And of course, we have a multitude of tools available to people who want to know more about how we approach workflow and how our tool is so flexible, or flexible, as I like to say. But really, choose the right tools and take advantage of solutions that are built API first, like FEXA. The reason these tools need to be rich in APIs is because no matter what any system tells you and any technology platform tells you, even FEXA, we're on the path to becoming a solution to a lot of different types of problems being solved. But there's never going to be a solution that solves every single problem that you have and every opportunity that you have across the entire organization. So you want to make sure that those tools can talk to each other and can seamlessly integrate, because again, a lot of that manual time is spent with redundancies, you know, redundancies across the organization. And you can't be a super team if you're stuck in the weeds doing, you know, stuck in the minutia. You have to have those systems working for you. You shouldn't be working for those systems. They should be working for you. And then finally, I would say, as you implement these tools and solutions, as you evaluate how they're helping you accomplish your goals, make sure you're really supporting the learning opportunities that exist. It will be an ever-changing, ever-evolving process, a living, moving, breathing thing. A super team will never be a static thing. Technology is changing every minute. Our technology is changing every minute. And it's something you can't assume that you're going to launch and set it and forget it and kick your feet up and just expect it to roll on the way that it should. You want to make sure that you're identifying any opportunities to continue to hone as technologies change, as your business priorities change, that you're, you know, staying ahead of it and being proactive, and you're likely to get better outcomes and ultimately really powered by a culture that feels very valued and knows that every individual is involved in this. And it is a super team effort to really accomplish those goals.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I mean, it's all great points. Just always remember that this is a living and breathing organism, just like any one of your other employees, and that it always needs fine tuning along with, you know, as you grow as a company and as you move into the future. So all great points. I appreciate that.
Yeah. One more thing to add to just came to mind is we hear this a lot from, you know, certainly customers who are onboarding FEXA, but of course it's sort of a common theme, I think, across organizations, even in our own organizations, as we onboarded a marketing automation platform, you know, last year and, changed our CRM a couple of years ago. And we're using certain systems to manage our business. It's a common theme to be a little overwhelmed by the possibilities, but I would really encourage folks to take it one step at a time. You know, it's okay to not onboard every idea that you have at once. Take it in phases. Oftentimes when we're taking folks from other systems that only work a certain way, sometimes the possibilities of FEXA can be a little overwhelming because they can make choices in FEXA, whereas in other systems, they weren't able to make choices. And so what we often say is, well, let's mirror the choices that you have now with a few improvements, and then we'll take it in a phased approach where we'll continue to improve and hone as we go along. It doesn't need to be an overnight flip a switch. All of a sudden, everything's super team. So that's not unusual. And, I know oftentimes it can feel overwhelming. So don't let it feel overwhelming. Take it one day at a time, one step at a time.
Yeah, that's great.
Also, because I wanted to touch on something you said earlier about not being able to solve all your problems. I like to create problems because problems lead to opportunities. And if you have no problems, you have no room for opportunities. So I wouldn't want to solve all my problems, but I do want something to help me get through those quicker so I can get on to new problems to solve.
I love the glasses half full mentality, Daniel. Absolutely. It's so true. Yeah. And why do we fall? So we can get up stronger, smarter, better than ever. And so that's very true. Without those opportunities, where are we? We're sitting still. And if you're not growing, you're dying.
Yeah, true. Dan, me and Kim love customers like that. We're always talking about, you know, some people that we get engaged with and saying, you know, this would be a great customer for us. You know, someone who really doesn't accept the status quo, but, you know, really pushes the software. We learn a lot from our customers, especially ones that are like that, where they're not accepting the status quo. And we can certainly put FEXA in and sort of take it easy initially, but then we can sort of follow up with QBRs and during implementation to really leverage the system for what it can do and not accept the status quo. I mean, I think that sometimes we're surprised at the tool set we built and what we can do with it and how it's helping customers. It gets us excited. So it was really nice to hear you say that, Dan. I really appreciate customers like that.
Yeah, got to push towards the future.
And that is going to wrap it up for us today. Thank you guys so much again for being on the show. This was a great conversation, and I appreciate all the information and insight that was shared here today. So for any of our viewers or listeners that are catching this on YouTube, please remember to like, share, and subscribe to the channel. And for anybody else who is getting their podcasts brought to them from any of the places podcasts can be found on the interwebs, please remember to subscribe and look for episodes coming up. And we will see you guys soon.